Hi, I'm John Edmiston, and we're working our way through the wonderful book of Colossians as we do this series in Insights for Eternity. Welcome to the Scriptures. Welcome to Christ. Welcome to learning about your identity in Christ as we look at an exciting passage of Scripture. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is glorious. Your word is true, yet your word puzzles our natural minds. And so, Lord, I ask for supernatural clarity. I ask for supernatural anointing. I ask for the supernatural to happen in the lives of everyone who hears this, that ears may be opened, that eyes may be opened, that understanding of Christ will come today as we listen to this broadcast. Lord, let your great power, your great power of the gospel be evident to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now open up your Bibles and Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Some of the most profound teaching in the whole of Scripture. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now this passage tells us that we have a secret life, a life that nobody can see, a life that we often forget about, that we are dead to this world, and our life is hidden with Christ in God. We have a heavenly life. We are a heavenly being. We are a city set on a hill. We are a citizen of heaven. We are now part of the angels. We're part of the heavenly array. We've come to the souls of righteous men made perfect and the blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. We are now part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God that is in Christ Jesus. And here, we hear mysteries. It says we have died, but I'm speaking to you now in a radio studio. How can I be dead? But I am dead to the old nature. I am dead to the old life. I am dead to the world. I'm dead to the cosmos of spiritual beings that used to control me. I'm dead to voodoo. I'm dead to witchcraft, and I'm dead to sin. All those things I have died because I was crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. You see, I'm dead. I'm crucified with Christ. The old self has gone away, and behold, all things are new. Now, if you've got a Bible there, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get a pen and your Bible. Go and grab it. And go put your pen just inside the middle of your Bible and close the Bible. Now imagine that that pen or that pencil is the believer. The believer is in Christ. The Bible represents Christ. The pen represents the believer. So here you look, your pen and your Bible at the moment, and put it down and say to yourself, I have died with Christ. So Christ died, you've died with Christ. You're just the pen in the Bible. As the Bible goes down, you have died with Christ. Lift the Bible up and up into the air. Now Christ is risen. And you have risen with Christ because you're in Christ. You're up in the air now. Now, here you are. You're up there in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. You're seated in heavenly realms with him. And now what happens next? During the church age, you're up there in the heavenly realms with Christ. And then Christ returns. So you bring the Bible down again and you are returning with Christ. And you put the Bible on the table. And Christ reigns and rules for 1,000 years, and you reign and rule for 1,000 years with him because you're in Christ. So when you're in Christ, you are right in the center of his being. You have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ. Christ dies, you die with him. Christ rises, you rise with him. Christ ascends into heaven, and you're ascended into heaven with him. When Christ returns, you return with him. And when Christ reigns and rules, you reign and rule with Christ Jesus. You see, you are in Christ. And when Saul was trying to persecute the church, Jesus comes to Saul, the persecutor, and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul was persecuting Christians, but Saul was also persecuting Christ, because we are the body of Christ, and when we're in Christ, when we're right there in the middle, like the pens in the middle of the Bible, to get to us, the persecutors are also persecuting Christ. So we're identified with Christ. We're his body, we're his bride, and where he is, we go, because where the head goes, the body goes. That's a pretty natural way of seeing things. And the Bible repeatedly tells us that you and I are in Christ Jesus. We have died, we are crucified with Christ, we are risen with Christ, we have ascended into heavenly realms with Christ, we will return with Christ, and we will reign and rule with Christ, because we are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at the passage. It says right here, Colossians 3 verse 1, if then you have been raised up with Christ. If then, well, that's a rhetorical if. Of course, we've been raised up with Christ. Any Bible-believing, born-again believer has been raised up with Christ. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Some wonderful but mysterious verses here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, let's start at verse 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So here in Ephesians chapter 2, it starts off in verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and tells us all the terrible things we were doing in the old life. And then in verse 4 it says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. So we've been made alive with him, and then it says, and in verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Right at this moment, you're a citizen of heaven. Right at this moment, you're seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Now, here I am physically sitting in a chair in a radio station in Los Angeles, and I am preparing this broadcast for you. But my spirit person, my spirit man, the spiritual part of John Edmiston, is a citizen of heaven and is seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. My real self, my eternal self, is already in heaven. I am already seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And I am just bound here to this earth by my flesh. And when my flesh passes away, I will instantly be in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, because that's where I've always been, because I am seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. You and I know that if we were to die this instant, all our desires and evil desires and sinful desires and all the wicked things we do, they would vanish, because they're part of our flesh. They're in the flesh. And when the flesh dies, we just become a spiritual being in heavenly realms, and we are pure. We become holy. We become perfectly like Jesus Christ, because we're already like that. The new man is a heavenly being, and we forget about our heavenly being, and we try and live like the other people on the face of the earth. We forget that we are heavenly people, and we are to be heavenly minded, because our true nature is to be eternal. Our true nature is to be spiritual. Forever and ever, we will be with Jesus in heaven. And our real self is not a sinful, wicked self that's concerned with greed and lust and achieving things in this life. Our real self is an eternal self that wants to do the will of God, that rejoices in the Lord always, that is full of the power of God, and is a heavenly being that will eventually get a heavenly body, and a glorious body that's immortal and imperishable, that is appropriate for the heavenly person that we truly are. And in the resurrection, we will be revealed in all our glory as always having been the sons and daughters of the living God. And that's what we are. We're heavenly beings seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Now, going back to Colossians chapter 3, it says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, which we have been, we've been raised up with him and seated in the heavenly realms, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Because you're a heavenly being in reality, you have to keep seeking the things that are above. Keep seeking means you've got to make an effort. You've got to make an effort to seek the heavenly things. And if you don't make that effort, you will seek the lower things. You will seek money and pleasure and power and jealousy and envy and revenge and all those crazy things. And you'll get caught up in nonsense. So it says, keep seeking the things that are above. You have to be focused on the heavenly things. You have to say, I want the heavenly things. I want the things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man, but which God has prepared for those who love him. You need the invisible powers of God operating in your life. You need love. You need grace. You need peace. You need holiness. You need sanctification. You need all the wonderful things that are available there. For you, in Christ Jesus, you have every single blessing in the heavenly realms. That's Ephesians 1:3. And you want to start seeking those heavenly blessings because they're going to make you into a mighty man, a woman of God who can proclaim the gospel, who can teach the word, who can change people into the image of God, and you yourself will be changed into the image of God. So you've got to keep on seeking, not just a dib and a dab here and there. Every day you've got to be seeking after God. You've got to be pressing into God. You've got to be seeking those things that are in Christ Jesus and which are above. So you keep on seeking. And in the Greek, it means continuously all the time. This is a present continuous tense. And you're going to be pressing in presently and continuously all the time, making the effort, striving forward to find your life that is in Christ Jesus, where Christ Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. Again and again in the New Testament, it uses this phrase, seated at the right hand of God. We find it first in Psalm 110, and it goes right through the book of Acts and ends up there in 1 Peter and various other places. And it means that Christ has taken a triumphant position. Christ has conquered the powers and principalities and the forces of darkness. He has cast them down during the ascension, and now he's been enthroned, which is quite a mystery, and we don't have time to teach about the enthronement now. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says this in verse 22 about Jesus, who was at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. So the angels and principalities and powers of this age are all subject to Christ Jesus. He is in a triumphant position at the right hand of God, and he has power, and he has grace, and he is ruling the universe by the word of his powers, we saw in Colossians chapter 1. So, we find that he is this triumphant Christ, for whom all things have been made, and by whom all things have been made. So this triumphant Christ, this one who has had victory over death and hell, the one that has risen from the dead through the power of the Holy Ghost, is now at the right hand of the Father who is in heaven, and we are seated there with him. So we are seeking the things of God. We are seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, and we have victory and power over the demons, the powers, and the principalities, because Christ has that power, and we are in Christ, therefore we can wield that power to a certain extent. In the Old Testament, Christians did not cast out demons. In the New Testament, they do. And they have that power because we are seated in the heavenly realms. We're seated in the third heaven with Christ Jesus, and we can rebuke the demons. We can cast them out of people because we are in Christ. We're seated in the heavenly realms with that Christ who is seated at the right hand of God and who has conquered all things of death and hell, all things of evil. So we can cast out demons. We can break witchcraft. We can send curses back to where they came from, because we are a heavenly being of great power and seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. So it says here, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. When we set our sights on things above, we become a grander person, a wiser person, a person who knows who they truly are in Christ Jesus. But when we set our mind on things on earth, We get preoccupied with our bank accounts, with our money, with our relatives, with gossip, with revenge, with small-minded things, with the politics of our country, with all the things that seem important here on earth, but which are actually trivial in eternity. In eternity, it doesn't matter who wins the election. In eternity, it doesn't matter if your football team wins. In eternity, it doesn't matter if your cricket team wins. In eternity, it doesn't matter who is up and who is down, because God sorts all that out on Judgment Day, and the first will be last, and the last will be first. But if we set our minds on this earth, we will have anxiety, we will have stress, we will have turmoil. But when we set our mind on things above, we have peace and love and joy. We have trust and assurance that God is at work. And so your mind has to be set on things above, not the things of anxiety, not the things that tear us apart on a daily basis. And if we go just before Colossians to Philippians chapter 4, 6, 7, and 8. Philippians 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. So Philippians 4 there, verses 6 to 9, it says, if you want peace in your life, set your mind on the things that are above, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, and take all your worries to God in prayer and put your obedience into practice, and you will have peace. So when we set our mind on the things above, we have a peaceful heart. We have a peaceful mind. We're not worrying about anything. We're bringing it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're interceding, and the peace of God that passes all understanding takes over our lives, and we have a mind that's full of peace and joy because it's realizing the greatness of God. It's realizing the sovereignty of God. And all our anxieties have been cast upon him because we know that he cares for us. And we are not left as orphans. We're not left as people who are getting upset and neurotic. We're not left struggling on our own in the morass of life with all the details of life. Because that's what happens if you set your mind on things below. You get sucked into all the struggles of life. So you have to set your mind on things above. You need to realize you're spiritual, that you've died with Christ. You're no longer part of this world, and you're crucified to this world, and you're dead to sin, and you're dead to a whole lot of other things. Your life is not here in succeeding in this age. Your life is not here in working out some destiny that some philosopher has talked about. Your life is in Christ Jesus. This world may burn. There may be a nuclear war. Or everything you have might be wiped out by a plague or a disaster or a typhoon or some great natural disaster or war that sweeps across your country. And everything you've worked for can be taken away. But your identity in Christ does not get taken away. That is permanent. You are permanently a citizen of heaven. You are permanently with Christ Jesus. Your hope is to be in him and not in the possessions and positions that you hold in this life. So where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and we need to set our mind on those things above in a determined focus, not on the things that on earth. And then it goes on in Colossians 3 and verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. No one can see it. No one that knows about it. You have a secret spiritual life. It is hidden from the devil. It is hidden from the demons. It is hidden from every curse and every witchcraft that is available. It is hidden inside of Christ, who is greater than any magic that might be worked against you. You have a hidden and secret life. Up there in the third heavens as a citizen of heaven and as a carrier of the glory of God. You have a hidden life that the eye cannot see. The external person cannot see who you are in heaven. Even your own mind, even my own mind, has trouble contemplating who I am in Christ Jesus, because that is a hidden thing. It's put inside of Christ. Our life, that true person that we are, is now someone who is in Christ, in heavenly realms, walking about on the streets of heaven, and we can't see that and we don't know that. You see, your life is not in this world. Your life is not in the institutions of this world. It's not in the people you know and the things you do and the schedule that you have or the importance that you do have or don't have. Your life is hidden in Christ with God, that central part of your being, which is your eternal life. Eternal life is not located in your church. Your eternal life is not located in your family. Your eternal life is not located in your bank account. Your eternal life is hidden with Christ in God. You are a being that dwells in God primarily, and this will be revealed later on in life. So you need to start changing how you think about yourself. You are a secret being. You are a secret triumpher. And nothing, no man can do anything to you. We have that big section in Romans 8 where Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And all the persecutions the Romans were going through, death and sword and famine, they did not separate the believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he says, neither things above or things below. No demon can separate you from God, because you are in Christ, in God, and all the witchcraft of Africa cannot separate you from God. You cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because the cross has taken care of that. The cross has taken care of your sin, and it's taken care of every human attack, and it's taken care of every demonic attack. You are now in Christ Jesus. You have the love of God for all eternity. And at the end of time, it will be said, death, where is your sting? Because we will be revealed from heaven, and all the enmity of this age, it dissolves away to nothing, because we are God's. We are in God. When we are God's, with G-O-D apostrophe S, we are not heavenly beings like that, but we belong to God, because we belong to God, and we are in heaven with God. We are shielded from all of evil. We are shielded. We are Christians. We are born again beings. So the last thing it says here is, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You will be revealed as a son of God. You will be revealed as someone who belongs to God. You will be revealed as a spiritual being of great authority and power. You will be revealed as someone with a resurrected body who is glorious. It says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You have glory ahead of you. You do not have shame ahead of you. You are not going to go down to hell. You're not going to be filled with shame. You're going to be filled with glory, glory upon glory. And in 1 John 3, it says, we do not know what we will be, but we know that when he's revealed, we will be like him. When the time of revelation comes, when Jesus comes back with all his holy ones, when this earth is dissolved and all sin is defeated, we will be revealed to be like Jesus. We will be revealed as people, sons and daughters of the living God, made in the image of God. Your eventual self is a glorious self. No matter what you've been through in this life, no matter how many people have made you full of shame and full of pain, no matter who has put you down, no matter if you haven't achieved much in this life, no matter if you're under humble circumstances, no matter if you're in the matter of deep struggles, eventually you will be revealed in glory. You will have glory. And those who have served the devil will have shame. They will be cast into the lake of fire. But those who have served God, the God Almighty, the creator of this universe, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who inherits all things, and we inherit with him, we will receive a glorious inheritance, and we will be a glorious human being. We will be a glorious son of God. We will not be God. We will not be gods. We will be sons of God, and we will be spiritual beings of great dignity and power. And we will dwell with Christ in the heavenly realms, and will come back, and will also take over this earth. and we will rule and reign with Christ on this earth for 1,000 years, where he coaches us and he teaches us the things of God, and he will show us how to be great and dignified spiritual beings. And then things will happen, things that are beyond my understanding. And there will be another time when we enter into eternal state, and we enter into the future that God has prepared for us. So you are going to be a glorious person, and you are going to live forever because your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your true self is invisible, but it will be revealed. It will be made visible. And when it is made visible, you will find out that you're in the image of God. You will say, who am I? Who is this creature who has wings? Who is this creature that soars in heavenly realms? Who is this creature that is now immortal? For the mortal must put on immortal, and the perishable must put on imperishable. And so that is what's going to happen to you. And you're a spiritual being. You've died. You're hidden in Christ with God. You're raised up into heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Your identity on this planet at this time doesn't matter. So set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Press into your identity in Christ. Seek after the Holy Ghost. Seek after Christ. Seek after God. Seek after an understanding of the Scriptures. Seek after prayer and after fasting and after love and joy and peace. And do the things in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Cast all your worries upon God, and do not be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, make all your trials and troubles known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Seek the holy, seek the good, seek the noble, and all the fretting will go away from your life, and you won't be so absorbed. And this is a daily practice, because our mind always goes back to our worries. It always goes back to this world. It always goes back naturally into the groove of the things below. So we need to pull it out of thinking about things that are below, and we need to set it on the things that are above. Yes, all of us have days where we fret and we worry, and that's not of Christ. We need to pull ourselves out of that and set our mind on things above with a great determination. And that's a great spiritual secret, to know that you're God's, to know that you're in Christ, to know that your real life is above and not below. So seek the things that are above, and you'll find a new peace and a new power and a new glory in your life. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. And we've been looking at Colossians 3, 1-4. Wonderful verses. Be blessed and have a great day. In Jesus' name, amen.